I'm Pastor Myron Dom. At Northmark Church, we believe the Bible is God's holy word, given to us from God for our benefit. God's word gives us wisdom, direction, comfort, and conviction. As we expound His word verse by verse each week, we hope to encourage and give you insight as you walk one step behind Jesus. Thanks for listening.
It's good to be in God's presence. Amen, church? Amen. Bless His holy name. Take your copy of His word and open it with me to the book of Acts, chapter 4. Acts, chapter 4. Let me set the stage. Peter and John had entered the temple area for an afternoon prayer gathering. On the way in, a crippled beggar asked for what he thought he needed most, money. Instead, Peter gave him what he most needed, by faith, a healing touch from the Lord. Instantly, the man could walk. He proceeded to hoot and holler in praise to the Lord, and a curious crowd quickly gathered. Peter clearly explained that faith in Jesus had accomplished this miracle. The power was not from him, nor from John. The power is in Jesus' name. Seeing the crippled beggar jumping and rejoicing, the apostles' faith grew. They believed in that moment Jesus could do anything. Chapter 4, we pick up now with verse 1. The priests and captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. The apostles did not see this coming. The miraculous healing had them all geeked up. Their trust in Jesus expanded as the Holy Spirit filled them with faith. And then, bam, they find themselves in jail. What's going on? The healing power of the Lord, demonstrated so powerfully in Acts chapter 3, had led to an inevitable result in Acts chapter 4, opposition. Now, as we unpack our passage, we'll discover the early church reacted by continuing to seek the Holy Spirit's filling and empowerment. And the Holy Spirit did just that. He sustained them through the persecution. As followers of Jesus today, He will do the same for us. We'd be wise to learn from the example of the early church and their experience and take this next step. Prepare for persecution. Prepare for persecution. We prepare by staying filled with the Holy Spirit. Persecution is a very real part of the Christian faith. Throughout history, persecution of believers has persisted, ironically occurring often at the hands of religious people. This was true of the first recorded persecution here in Acts 4. It's still true today. Recent Christian martyrs and those imprisoned for their faith are suffering today at the hands of religious people. Throughout the Middle East, North Africa, and Southeast Asia, Islamic leaders incite their followers to attack Christian families, to burn their homes and their churches, to imprison their pastors and their leaders and behead those who refuse to denounce the name of Jesus. Persecution is rippling throughout our world against Christians. Remember those being persecuted. Pray for them. And prepare. For in the days ahead, persecution will likely intensify for us right here in the good old USA. Not just at the hands of those who foolishly impose political correctness, turning against God's ways, hating us for our intolerance of sin and our insistence that only Jesus can set one free. But we also may, in the days ahead, face persecution from militant Islamist extremists as they penetrate our borders in pursuit of world domination. But we should not lose heart. For the same Holy Spirit who sustains believers today in the Middle East, in North Africa, and in Southeast Asia will be the same Holy Spirit who sustains believers in North America, in South America, in Europe, and throughout the known world. We can trust the Holy Spirit to be faithful to us because He is being faithful to those who do not have the freedoms we enjoy today. Yet they still cry out, "If I've got breath in my lungs, I'll give praise to the only one who's worthy." What's His name, church? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. In Acts 4, the persecution is originating from the Sadducees, a sect of Judaism that had come into power in the time period between the closing of the Old Testament and the opening of the New Testament. During that intertestamental period, there were some politically motivated Jews who created a noble priesthood. An educated, wealthy hierarchy who connivingly and manipulatively gained control of both political and religious Jewish life. The Sadducees had exerted their authority as they continued this process, and they were determined to keep control. They were also materialistic rationalists who denied the supernatural. They denied the existence of evil spirits or angels. They, above all, denied the resurrection. When I was a little boy in Sunday school, we were taught the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. That's why they were sad, you see. Think about that. When they found the apostles proclaiming Jesus had risen from the dead, the Sadducees, with political authority and religious fervor, brought down the hammer and imprisoned those men. Verse 4, fascinatingly, it tells us, "But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. Remember last week, 2 weeks ago, 120, 3,000, now 5,000. This is explosive growth occurring right there in Jerusalem. Believers were multiplying like jackrabbits, but the leaders made the arrest anyway. Often, God's favor is juxtaposed with spiritual opposition. God blesses, the enemy attempts to discourage. If you focus on the discouragement, you lose sight of God's blessing. Let us remember, our God is in control, and our God is good. We just sang, great are you, Lord. There is no one like our God. And when persecution and opposition come into our lives, it has first been filtered through his sovereign, loving fingers. Let us not lose sight of God's favor in the face of spiritual opposition. When persecution comes, stay filled with the Holy Spirit and remember, Jesus promised it. Jesus promised persecution. In one of his earliest teachings, he proclaimed in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are those who are, say it with me, persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Then before he was arrested and tried and crucified, he pulled his closest disciples together, and in John 15, he said this, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of me, because of my name. For they do not know the one who sent me. It is the name of Jesus that provokes persecution. And it is the name of Jesus that protects when opposition comes. Sometimes his protection is so vast and consistent, we get lulled into thinking that persecution will never come to our shores. It will never enter my workplace. It's not going to touch my life. The Apostle Paul admonishes us in his second letter to Timothy with this statement of fact. He says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, say it with me, will be persecuted. If you want to follow Jesus with your whole life, experience forgiveness of your sins, know the peace and freedom and joy that comes from feeling innocent before God, experiencing his ongoing faithfulness and the security that that gives to your life, be assured of this. You also will face opposition. You also will be persecuted. You will also come against hard people who purposefully try to make your life difficult because of one reason. They are persecuting Jesus Christ. When they look at him, they get angry. They defy him. They will not bend their knees before him. And so when you manifest him in your obedience and in your holiness, they don't like it. And opposition comes at you. When you're loving Jesus and you're growing together and you're serving your world, you are also opening yourself to opposition. Don't be dismayed. The very presence of persecution can serve to underscore that you're doing the right thing. The enemy doesn't bother with you when you're lost and acting in foolishness. But when you are following Jesus with intensity and intentionality, he draws a target on your back. And so when you feel those fiery darts of persecution penetrating your sphere, take heart. You're on the right side. If they persecuted Jesus, they're going to come after those who clearly testify of their faith in him. Persecution can be proof that you're honoring the King of Kings. Let me give a qualifier here. Don't be stupid about this. My father was a man of trades. One time in his career as a pipe fitter, he worked in a factory with a coworker who was well known as a, quote, Bible thumper. You know why they gave him that title? Because when they were supposed to be working, turning the wrenches, he'd be carrying his Bible around the factory floor. What do you think that did to people who were sweating and brazing their knuckles? My father was a follower of Jesus, and he could turn a wrench real well. And so he worked when he was on the clock and during lunch break, or afterwards, or beforehand. If given opportunity, he would point to Jesus. But when the clock was on and the wrenches are supposed to be in your hand, the Bible was not in his. Does this make sense? This man prided himself in being persecuted. He was also the guy that people would find sleeping on a cot down behind the machinery for hours a day during his longer shifts. You're supposed to be working. But this man was living a life as a hypocrite. Yet he's the first one to bring out the Bible and quote a verse right down your throat. Don't be stupid, friends. That's not how you honor the name of Jesus. You live a life of integrity. When you're working, work. In your free time at work, you honor the King of Kings. If given an opportunity, you speak about him. But you don't go around stuffing scripture verses into people's hands and in down their throats. That doesn't make people want to know about your Jesus. That turns them off. Follow the example of Jesus. He got his hands dirty. He served people. He loved people. He was consistent. No one could accuse him of hypocrisy. He knew what it was to work with the sweat of his brow. And when the right time came, he would point people to truth. Don't be stupid. Are you hearing me on this? Too often in our culture and recent days, people have thought they're being persecuted simply because they're not living right. And other people look at it and say, if that's Jesus, I want nothing to do with it. How many friends do you know that say, I'll never darken the door of a church because of hypocrites? How do we get the reputation of hypocrisy? It's when we act like we're following Jesus, when we should be working, raising our children, living a quiet life in honor of God, and doing the right thing consistently, and then loving people around us and serving them in a way that they see Jesus in us. I'm going to get off my soapbox now. Verse 5. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, you remember that name from when Jesus was tried. Annas, the high priest, was there. And so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Talk about a slow pitch. They t-balled it right in front of Peter. By what power? Or what name did you just do this? So Peter winds back and smacks it out of the park. Look at what he says in verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, because they asked, rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked,
how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He, that's Jesus, is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven, given to men, by which we must be saved. Hallelujah. Acts 4, verse 12 is a verse worth memorizing. Look at it again. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. When persecution comes, stay filled with the Holy Spirit and point to Jesus. It's either Jesus or judgment on your own. It's either Jesus or hell. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. He alone is the way. Peter is so right on in this statement. Remember Peter. Weeks earlier, Jesus, standing before these same guys, Annas, Caiaphas, the rest of them, Peter, nearby, is asked, aren't you part of this group? And what's he do? He cusses and curses and runs away in fear. Weeks later, this same Peter is standing before these same religious leaders, going toe-to-toe, boldly declaring that Jesus alone is the way. What happened to Peter? Verse 8 tells us. It says he was, what church? Filled with the Holy Spirit. If you and I are going to withstand opposition, if we're going to point to Jesus rightly at work, in our extended family, at school, or with our friends, we have got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Only He can empower us to stand strong in Jesus' name. Verse 13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized these are unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note. These boys have been with Jesus. When persecution comes, stay filled with the Holy Spirit and remember, people will see Jesus in us. The fatal interrogation on the eve of the crucifixion of Jesus had left an indelible impression on these religious leaders. They would have liked to have forgot it, but they couldn't. And now, as these two apostles stand before them, the leaders could not help but be reminded of Jesus. The apostles were unschooled in the finer points of Jewish law. Yet here they boldly stood, calling into question all the man-made regulations that were supposed to make you righteous. Peter and John, filled with the Holy Spirit, were so much like Jesus in that courtroom that the presence of Christ could not be denied. The Holy Spirit transformed these two fishermen. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were empowered to testify about Jesus. At that moment, the Holy Spirit was saturating their emotions. He was compelling their wills. He was energizing their bodies. So the Sanhedrin was not only seeing them, they were seeing Jesus. Brothers and sisters, in the face of opposition, or when everything is flourishing, if you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will put Jesus on display. And people around us will see Him. I pray each week before I come here to preach, Lord, help them to see you, not me. Help me to be invisible and become anonymous. Help them to see you. Help them to hear from you and your word, not just my voice, not my thoughts. Help me to get out of the way so you can be seen. Look at this little prayer. Lord, help them to see you, not me. Help me get out of the way so you can be seen. What might happen if at work this week you sat in your car before you walked into the building and prayed a simple prayer like that? I put it right there on your outline for you to take. What might happen at school if you prayed like that before stepping onto the bus or entering the classroom, the lunchroom? What might happen at that next family gathering if you prayed something like this before greeting those relatives of yours? What might happen next weekend when you connect with your friends if you've been praying like this all week beforehand? Honestly, if you pray like this and people see Jesus in you, you might face some opposition. And honestly, those are the people that need most desperately to see Jesus in you. They are actually persecuting him when they oppose you. Jesus promised us it would happen, especially if we point to him. But we should not be afraid. Prepared, yes. Afraid, no. Don't be afraid. For when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, he will give you the words. He will give you the boldness. He will inspire you with confidence, and he will surround you with peace. Praise his name. The Sadducees did not know what to do with Peter or John, or the healed beggar with that silly grin bouncing on the soles of his newfound feet. Verse 18. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. You guys knock it off. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help but speaking about what we have seen and heard. The Holy Spirit wants people to see Jesus in us. The Holy Spirit wants us to point to Jesus. He promised us persecution would come. Let's take this next step. Prepare for persecution by staying filled with the Holy Spirit. Would you stand with me? And let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we pray for your continued filling. We don't know what kind of opposition we might face this week. Lord, don't let us be foolish. Don't let us make dumb decisions at work or school, setting ourselves up to look like hypocrites and then being mocked for it and thinking we're being persecuted. Keep us from that, Lord. Instead, may we lead lives of integrity and strength, conviction and purpose, pointing to you, manifesting your presence in our attitude and speech, allowing others to get a glimpse of your goodness through our praise of you. Lord, what might it look like this week if we trusted you in the face of opposition? May others see you in us.
I hope this message from God's Word has encouraged you in your spiritual journey. On Sundays, we have an Inspire service at 9 a.m. in our fellowship hall and two Engage services in our sanctuary at 9:30 and 11. come by and visit us. You can also check us out on the web at northmarchchurch.com or simply download the Northmar Church app to your device. We would be honored to serve you in any way we can. May the Lord give you an increased awareness of His presence in your life.